Welcome back to the Even If podcast. I'm Kinsey.
And I'm Sarah. And today's episode is what I would tell my younger self. Or is it coffee with my younger self?
Didn't we talk about doing the coffee one? Because that's a trend.
I know. I mean, I think it's what I'd tell my younger self. Could be like another part two later.
Okay, yeah.
And then like, yeah, we're having coffee. We'll do that trend on socials. Okay. We'll post that. But I like the...
Yeah.
What I'd tell my younger self, because it is true. Like, we're going to talk about what we'd tell younger Kinsey and younger Sarah.
Yeah.
Are we just going to roll with this? I don't think we need to redo it.
Yeah, let's go, baby. Okay. Everybody, sometimes this happens. Well, I think, okay, because this episode we're excited about, we were inspired by these reels that are going around. If y'all have seen on Instagram, Kinsey posted one because she's trendy.
Oh, hardly.
About, what is it? That if I could get coffee with my younger self.
Yeah, had coffee with my younger self today. And then it's like, yes. It's so precious.
I think it's so sweet. They get me every time.
I know. It's really cool too to like watch what everybody in the season of life that they're in, you get to see where they are, or again, their highlight reel of mm-hmm. where they are. Mm-hmm. But then you get to also go, okay, what were you struggling with back then?
That. Yeah.
And so it's really cool to see. I mean, some people don't go that deep, but some people do. And it's been really fun to watch both.
I agree. Because you're right. It is. It's such a highlight reel. But then for people to take time and write that, what I would tell you, my younger mm-hmm. self, is really cool.
It is really cool.
For those who haven't mm-hmm. seen this trend yet, mm-hmm. will you explain what the trend is and then maybe even like share what yours was?
Yeah, I can read mine out.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. So the trend on Instagram, it's like this really sweet, it's called the Sweet Heat Lighting. I think it's Gregory Allen something. Song. And then it's just, I had coffee with my younger self today. And it's this trend going around and women are writing about kind of where they are now and where they were then and offering this advice, which kind of just obviously is perfect into what Sarah and I are talking about today. And so I did this, I think I posted it this past weekend, and I wrote, I had coffee with my younger self this morning. She showed up 20 minutes early with her head down. I showed up right on time and squeezed her tight. She told me she's anxious. I told her I understood. She asked me about Jesus. I told her he will be your everything. She said she's afraid of the future. I told her she won't always feel this way. She asked if we had a good job. I replied, the best job. We get to love on people through fitness. She asked how. I said, you chased your dreams and did it scared. She asked if we were married. I said, not yet, my sweet. She asked why. I said, because you want something rare and God knows that. You'll wait as long as it takes with uncommon hope. She asked, but are we happy? I replied, oh yes, honey, we are deeply joyful. She asked, so it will all be okay? I said, more than okay, my girl. You will find the beauty in the becoming, in the present moment, now and forever. She took a deep breath and said, I'm excited to become you. I said, you should be. You're going to love it here.
Oh,
I know. It was really sweet That's to write so out, because it was just like, you know, I think doing that reel just really had me think like, what would I tell my younger self? Mm-hmm. And perfect segue into this podcast, because it's like, what would we tell her? There's so much that we could tell our younger selves, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like with that trend going around, it is just really something that I think women, especially when you get to kind of your 30s and 40s and 50s, you're giving advice because mm-hmm. you have experience, you have life experience. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just something that we all crave. And mm-hmm. I think I know when I was younger, there's a few women I looked up to, but man, what I would have given to have someone in their 30s when I was in my 20s to have said, hey, you know, do this.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Don't worry about this. Don't worry about that.
I love the ones. I love just like the little details of she showed up late. I showed up early. Mm-hmm. Just like thinking about who we were at 20 years old of, you know, for me, I would love to take the time to write this out. Did you like look at other people's for inspiration of kind of like,
I saw a couple people doing it and I was like, I need to do this. Cause this is just like, it feels like almost a journal entry. And then I wrote it out on my notes on my phone. Mm-hmm. And I just was like, what would I tell my younger self? And so I wrote out a draft and then I read it and then I put it on the music and I was like, found a happy video of me now, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. like brown hair, mm-hmm. natural, like brunette, no longer like a blonde, no longer trying to be this thing. And just this happy girl in New York City. Like I was just, this is like random reel of me just That's walking so cool. on the sidewalk, like smiling and laughing and use that. And then, I think you need to do it. I'm going to encourage you to do it this week. Cause I think it not only will speak to other women, but it's just something that you'll have. Kind of why Instagram started was like this beautiful journal. And I think that's why I love having that reel on my page of like, I would have shown up 20 minutes early with my head down because that's who I was. And now I'm like, I'm right on time. I'm sometimes a little bit late. I'm sometimes a little bit early, but I'm meeting people where they're at with a big old squeeze. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just like really cool. Like you said, even those little details.
I like them. Yeah. I like a lot.
You need to do it.
Okay. So what do you think with, along with that, what's like one thing you wish you could go back and tell your 20 something self about, whether it's faith, identity? I mean, you think about that reel you posted. It's a lot of, I mean, the reel that you posted was looking back at who she was, like if you had coffee with her and just kind of the differences of where y'all were at versus if you had that coffee with her, what are things that you would tell her about faith specifically?
Faith specifically, I would say, no matter what you do, like chase after him. Because I was kind of thinking about my college self when I wrote that, when I did that reel, kind of early college, just parents' divorce was through my entire college experience. So I was very anxious. I was very codependent with my mom in the sense of like just feeling like I needed to like, and she didn't put this on me by any means, but I just felt like I needed to like be the savior and be the one that took care of everybody. And it was just a very unhealthy dynamic that I created in a sense, because I felt like that was my role. So I was very anxious. I was very lost. I felt like I was always going to be this way, caught in my own mind. And I think when it comes to faith specifically, I would tell my younger self that kind of what I said in my reel, like Jesus will become your absolute everything and you will lose it all, but you will gain him in the process. And your ability to surrender everything will be very encouraging to other people. So hang on, like you're going to experience a lot of loss. It's going to be really disappointing, but no matter what you do when it comes to faith, like eyes on him and run faster and faster and faster.
Yeah.
I think that's what I would say.
That's good. Yeah, no, it's hard to probably answer that. Yeah. I'm like, there's so much you've learned. And I mean, if you're thinking about your college self 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. What would you like, what would you say to your younger self specifically about faith?
I mean, I think about, okay, am I talking to my high school or college self?
Which one do you feel like needs to hear it most?
Probably college. I feel like high school, I started off like I was in a small group. I had awesome mentors and Bible study leaders at the time. And just, I mean, I think about freshman Sarah, like 14 years old, just was innocent. And I remember reading my Bible in study hall at school. And then I think late high school, college, you just, for me, that's when I think the real world hit me. And I just was being tested more in areas where life was just really easy before then.
Yeah.
I was at a church in college, but I didn't totally prioritize it. I was in a sorority with amazing Christian girls, but we were kind of just living the college life. There's so much to say about what I would tell her about faith. And I think you're right. So much of it is not about like doing the right, like I would tell her, don't worry about trying to do all the right things.
Oh, that's good.
And I think so much of faith and works is a huge part of this religion versus relationship thing.
That's really good.
Which I think we could do a whole podcast on just the difference of religion and relationship. And I didn't grow up feeling like religion was important in the sense of like, I have to do all the works. Necessarily. Like I felt like I knew more about the importance of the relationship with Jesus than the works, which was good.
Yeah.
But I also think there was a lot of me wanting to do the right thing. And so I just wouldn't tell people things that were going on. Or if I made a mistake, I wouldn't want to own it or talk about it because I wanted to come across still as the good Christian girl.
Yeah, I get that.
And then when I felt like I wasn't the good Christian girl, I remember being like, I don't know how to act. And that's truly when I got my first tattoo, I was 18. And it says believe. And I remember talking to one of my mentors and being like, I keep messing up. And this was like, I guess, freshman year of college, senior year of high school, freshman year of college. I was like, I keep messing up, but I'm trying so hard to be a Christian and be good and do all the right things, but I'm not. And I don't know how to like call myself like Sarah Helton, the Christian, when I'm not like living this perfect lifestyle. And she's like, do you think you're supposed to be perfect? Yeah. And I was like, I've been pretty good. And not that I have even, but it's just like, I didn't know, like I didn't feel the weight of sin probably as much.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
And so I think I remember her telling me, it's not about being perfect. It's about believing. You just believe in him. And so I think when I was 18, I got that tattooed on my wrist, just thinking it is, it's just about believing in him. And so I guess I would tell her, believe in him, believe in his plans, believe in his promises, believe what he has for you, believe that he is good.
So good.
There's so much I could tell.
I know. It's so hard. It's like one thing, but I guess that's it. I mean, it's so helpful. Like chase after him and believe in him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And faith just being the most important. Yeah. Okay. So aside from faith, well, along with faith, I guess I should say, what would you tell your younger self about relationships and dating, thinking about that? And
ooh, yeah, there's a lot there too. I think the main things that come to mind, honestly, off the cuff are just stop trying to control it. Stop trying to earn it. Today, I found out I thought I was a 2 on the Enneagram my whole life, and I'm definitely a 3.
That's so funny. One of my friends actually called me and was like, Kenzie's such a 3, isn't she? I was like, no, she's a 2.
No,
she's like, I can tell she's a 3.
No, I'm a 3 through and through. And I literally have tested as a 2. And today, and you know, again, the Enneagram is a source, it's a tool. I'm not like defined by the Enneagram, sure. But I do think like there's so much, especially with working with my coach the last year. And she, we were talking today on just a lot of things. And like the Lord is really working in my life, and he always has been, but like really right now with just where I'm at. And yeah, I was like, do you think I'm a 2? I just, cause there's so much about like earning and proving, and you know, 3s are very magnetic. They're leaders, they're all these things. And they're not afraid to like speak up and say the thing. And so anyways, I think one of the things that I always thought was a 2 was like, I just want to help and love people, but that's not my core motivation. Mm-hmm. And so, I think what I would tell my younger self in relationships is you don't have to earn this or prove this. And I think in the relationships I've had in the past, I've actually specifically, I think there's a, you know, it's probably, I don't even know if it's, I'm sure there's a scientific reason behind this, but if you haven't done a lot of healing, which I've been in therapy, I was in therapy for a long time in my, right after college, working through my parents' divorce and my relationship with my dad, and he and I did a few sessions together, but you date your dad, you know, if you haven't worked through a lot of that stuff. And my dad was very performance driven, very much like loved my accolades and, you know, supported me in that. And I'm very grateful for that. But I would tell my younger self in relationships, you don't have to earn love. And I think that's also goes back to my relationship with the Lord. Like, it was so hard for me to believe what he says about me is true. So therefore, how do I receive love? I couldn't receive love, but then I had to go earn love. Mm-hmm. And it was this constant cycle of picking the wrong guy, feeling like the guy that can love bomb me, that can tell me everything I want to hear. But then all of a sudden now there's a checklist for him and I've got to sustain that and or exceed that. And so, gosh, I wish I could just hold my younger self, even myself 2 years ago in the relationship that I was in, and be like, honey, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Like, so I would say, I mean, there's so much I would say, but the two things I would say that stick out to me the most is, number one, you don't have to earn it. Mm-hmm. Run very fast away from somebody that ever makes you feel like you do. And number two, there's nothing for you to do. I think I always struggled with like, should I say this? And should I do this? And should I wear this?
Yes,
and like,
should
I put myself in this situation? And oh, what if I miss him if I don't go to this party, or I don't do this thing, or I don't act like this? And it's like, it was almost like contributing to my anxiety. Because
you're becoming a person you're not.
Yeah, exactly.
You're doing that.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I'm single because of, and this was in my early 20s.
A guy that's not even true to who you are.
Exactly. I'm like, what? So I think there was anxiety that drove me to think like, because I'm not doing X, Y, Z, that's why I'm still single. And that was, you know, years and years ago. I don't believe that clearly anymore, or haven't for a long time. But those would be the two things, looking at my like 20-year-old self and, you know, up until a couple years ago with just the earning, I would say.
I love what you shared about the Enneagram. I also think we could do a whole podcast on
Enneagram. We should, because you also are very trained on, like, you have like, yes, I love it.
Love it. But yeah, I feel like I've seen that 2-3 in you so, so strong.
Yeah.
And when I had a friend was like, that's hilarious. To your podcast, and I picked up on that and I was like, yeah, you do. Like, you are such an achiever. You're a go-getter. Yeah. And there's like, obviously the downsides of every side, to know that you do love to help people, but that's not your motivation. Mm-hmm. And so I think what the Enneagram shows us at times is like, was your motivation as a 3, because 3s like to look good and achieve, was your motivation because you wanted to help them to look good?
Yep.
Or is it because that's your love language too? And I think it's just, it gives us an insight into ourselves to understand and then be able to call each other out when you're like, I want to do this. Then I'm like, okay, well, I know you're a 3. Are you doing that just because you want to look a certain way?
Mm-hmm.
And you can like check each other as friends, which again, I know we talked last week about accountability. Like, that's so important and so fun. And for me, I'm a 7. And so thinking about for 7s, like what we like to do, and we like to escape, that oftentimes I have had friends call me out, be like, Sarah, 7s like to run away and something's hard. Why are you wanting to run away? Why are you booking a trip? Why are you? And I'm like, because I don't want to face pain.
Yeah. I love that you said that. It is so insightful. Love that you shared that about your friend, because I definitely am going to be reading more about Enneagram 3 recently.
Fun.
Yeah, which is fun.
It's really cool.
It is really cool.
Yeah, I agree with you though. I think I also did that so much in relationships. that I would tell my younger self, like, first of all, don't fix him. I think that's the biggest thing. My dad told me one time that I told him to this is so embarrassing. I can't believe I'm sharing this. Please do. But he told me one time I was in high school and I was talking about a guy that I liked and he was like, why do you like him? And I'm like, Dad, you just don't get it. Like, whatever. And I said, Dad, I just like the bad boys.
Oh, no. You didn't.
What?
Why would you tell your dad?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
And he was like, what? And some reason he's held that over my head and he has brought that up multiple times throughout the years.
Sure.
Just like, Sarah, you said this in high school. And I'm like, no, I didn't. He's like, no, you did. And I kind of trust him because it kind of sounds like something I would say. But it's like, I think that was my need to, yeah, I don't know why I wanted to fix somebody. Like I think it was a pride issue for me of I wanted to date the bad guy because I thought I was good enough that I could fix them change them.
Yeah, I know. I get that.
I think I even had somebody, a mentor coach, call me out one time and be like, you have this savior mentality. Like, stop that. You're not that. I was like,
Oh yeah, that's humbling.
And I think it's beautiful to want to save people, to want to help people, to want to, but not in the context of a dating relationship.
No.
And that is what I would tell every girl is not in the context of a dating relationship. Do we find somebody and try to fix him because it's never going to work. Sure. We date for potential. We all have potential. We're all growing. We're all changing. Yes. And see where he's headed. See where he's going. See what he's doing. That is important. I have more potential that I haven't stepped into. And I hope a man can see me and say, I'm dating her and I see where she's headed. That's great. But not finding a project that needs to be fixed. And by fixed, I just mean like somebody who hasn't done their work or hasn't processed some hard childhood trauma or things that they've been through. And that's the stuff that's like, let them be them and let you be you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something my dad even shared on the podcast. We had dating advice with dad several episodes ago, but he was like, just be you. What did he say? Like, let them be them and let you be you.
Yeah.
And my mom, she's amazing. She even says that. She said that her mom, so my grandma, would say to her all the time when she was dating my dad, let God be God and let Jeff be Jeff.
Ooh, that's good.
Isn't that good?
It's so good.
Because I think at times I've dated guys like wanting them to be something for me and it's like, let God be God and let my man be my man and don't try to make him something else.
Yeah.
I just feel passionate about this.
Yeah, no, I love that. And then also you show up as you because I think I've struggled obviously in the unawareness three of me of trying to be what he wanted me to be.
Oh my gosh, I think we've all done
that. Or like, okay, will this make me seem cool or will this make me seem like, will this make me stand out? And I have not done that in a while and it's just like so freeing to just show up as yourself. Because that's the thing. It's like at the end of the day, I want to marry my best friend. Like the person I married to become my best friend. And then I want him to become best friends with my best friends. Mm-hmm. And that's how I want to do life. Mm-hmm. And I want to be able to be this quirky kind of weird, very achieving, like fun, deep girl that I am. But I don't think anyone that I've ever really dated has ever really seen me. But I think part of that is one, their inability to see me and two, my inability to let them see me.
Yeah, totally. You know, you can only control your part. So exactly. Owning that second part.
Owning that second part of like, but I didn't feel like I could let him in and why am I still dating him? You know? Yeah. So it's powerful. It's so powerful.
It is. And thinking about too, like there have been times where I remember, you know, being with a group of friends and some of the girls are sitting on the sideline while everybody's up playing sports or jumping in the game or, you know, watching a football game and some girls are just chilling and I feel like I should go sit with the girls, but I'm way more interested in watching this football game.
Of course you are. Like, no one checked about that.
Like I want to be this girl like this, but that's not who
that's
I am.
That's not who you are. It's like
and
the
then
book
I'm
that
get
you
married
wrote.
And my husband's like, why are you every Saturday glued to the TV? And I'm like, cause it's college football season, brother. You know? And like, if I had pretended while I was dating to be one girl and then my true self came out, like what a mess.
Yeah.
It's a disservice to him, to me, to everyone.
Yeah. It's so true. It's so true. I love that.
That's so funny. Okay. So how do you feel like, think about dating and us being single still, how has your view of singleness changed being older? Cause I think there was its own struggles when we were younger of being single and why we would just date to date or whatever. What do you think? How do you think it's changed being older?
I think I used to look at singleness as just fill it with, you know, it's a great reason to strive in my career. Cause it's the thing that I can control and I can't control the singleness thing. And that I'll surely by 30, I'll be married. And, you know, I kind of had that and I was dating somebody
when I was, I ended up calling it off when I was 30. And it's funny to set those milestones and think of singleness one way. And then if you would have told me when I'm 30 that I'd still be single at 34, but I would love it.
Wait, is that true though? Do you love it? Or what do you mean by that?
Yeah, I guess I love that you say that. I love it in the sense of I find a lot of, here's a better way to say this, because I love that you just said that. I desire my husband now more than ever, but in a way that's really healthy versus in a way that I felt like, okay, I'm just ready to like not have to do a lot of this stuff on my own. That is still true currently of like, it would just, you know, going through something and like feeling it and like calling my best friend, so grateful I have them. And it would be great to just be like, turn to my husband and be like, I need you right now. I need to talk to you through this. And like having that earthly relationship that is the most important one on this earth. I crave that. I will say that the thing that I am so grateful for and the viewpoint in which I have is that I am truly living singleness to my fullest. I am so grateful that I have been able to at 34, when I do meet my husband and get married and have kids and hopefully raise some girls too and boys, but like I can tell my girls, I want them to be able to get to a point where they can say, you lived, you booked the trip, you started the business, you got to know Jesus the way that you do. And so I think that my viewpoint that has changed is instead of sitting back and thinking singleness is some sort of burden or, you know, everyone says singleness is a gift, but like you kind of wonder, well, it doesn't really feel like a gift because you really want like the actual gift that you're actually praying for, which is the husband.
Right.
But the viewpoint in which I have now is that singleness is meant to be lived to its fullest.
I love that.
And it's meant, you're meant to serve in your singleness. Yeah. Yes, it's a gift, but that gift then should be for you to serve and you to live and you to love and you just celebrate your friends' wins and you just celebrate your friends that are getting engaged. Because the thing that I'm realizing too is like, I am going to get to be in like these incredible weddings coming up in the next, you know, 2 to 4 years. I'm including you and me in that. And because I'm putting that out there, we're believing for a miracle.
Yes, but Lord. Yes, we love Lord. That.
But like, I know myself and I know that one of my best friends in the entire world is going to be getting married in the next year or so. And I love that I get to like not have kids while we're going to plan our wedding, you know? And I just see God's goodness in that versus seeing like, oh man, you have a choice.
Yeah.
And so I'm just grateful to have that perspective now versus I don't think I would have had that when I was younger.
I heard this cheesy line one time and it was like,
I love the cheese.
I love the cheesy stuff.
And it was like, singleness is not, don't view singleness as like a waiting room, but as an opportunity.
Yes.
And I don't know, is that cheesy or is it just true? But
both, maybe.
I think sometimes we think of it as like a waiting room. Like we're waiting. I can't do the next thing because of this. Or like I'm waiting right here. And it's like, gosh, I no, go do the thing.
Literally.
Like, I'm so grateful for what I did in my 20s. I traveled around the whole world by myself. I had multiple jobs. I worked in corporate and I worked remote. I worked in the public school system. I worked in the private school system. Like
seriously,
I've done so much and I'm grateful that I didn't just wait.
Yeah. No, we're living,
even
baby.
It's hard.
Yeah. I mean, we literally were just catching up before this and you have spring break coming up and I don't have a trip in March. And she's like, I really want to go somewhere. And I was like, let's go to Mexico.
I said, okay. And I tried to book it before this podcast.
Yeah, and I was like, no, we gotta
record. She said, no, we need to record. We both had Bible study tonight.
Literally, we can't be late.
But let's book the
trip. We will book the trip. But like, honestly, and again, it's perspective, but if we had husbands and kids, it'd be like us calling, which will be so wonderful in that season. But now it's like, we don't have to ask somebody if it's okay. Like, hey, babe, can you watch the kids? Yeah. I want to go to Mexico with Sarah. It's like, the only person I got to check with is my schedule and my calendar. And like,
which is
it.
Such a weird thing.
Which is so weird.
Yeah. There was one time I remember I booked somewhere out of the country and I like didn't tell anybody. And I was like, I kind of want somebody to know I'm doing this. And I texted my dad. I was like, just so you know, going on a trip. Like, okay. I was like, I just feel like somebody should know that I just spent $1,000 on a trip. I'm going out of the country. Somebody should know. Like, I have nobody else to tell.
Yeah. So dad, just so you know.
He's like, cool.
Cool. Congrats. See you when you get home.
No, he's probably like, gosh, live it up.
No, seriously. Single. You know, all of our married girlfriends are like, live it up.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. I also think like my view of singleness has changed because I don't know. Do you feel this way? I feel like we like know too much.
Yeah.
I
yes. No, I know what you're
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, no, I know what you mean by that.
I think if I was 21. I could have married somebody if I was dating a guy at the time. I don't know. What was I doing? I was literally traveling. But I think you can get married and not, when you're younger, not know as much and figure it out. Where it's like, I don't know if this is true. I'm literally thinking this through as I'm talking.
No,
now that I'm older and I've seen friends go through divorce, I've seen friends go through affairs, I've seen friends go through hell and high water, you know, from losing babies to alcoholism to, I mean, everything under the sun. Yeah. And I'm like, I know too much now that if a guy is struggling with porn, I know that like what that can lead to. Mm-hmm. And I need a man who like has dealt with that. Mm-hmm. If a guy is drinking too much, I've seen people walk through alcoholism. Like I need my man to have worked on that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I feel like I know too much that it makes me so picky.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. Do you know?
No,
what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. Cause it's like, you know too much. And then you're like, again, there's a difference between, I said this in class the other day, so it definitely didn't come from me, but I think it's like, there's a difference between expectations and holding the standard. Like, yes, we need to have expectations in certain things, but that's where I think we have to hold them loosely, because a lot of times we see something not going the way that we think it should go, but it's actually going the way that it needs to go. That's from my life coach, who's literally walked me through some things. And I think that because we know too much and we've seen so much, the standard continues to raise. Rise. Standard continues to rise. Raise.
It raises.
It raises. She raises that. Goodness gracious. The standard continues to rise. Now, that doesn't mean that we're like, we're putting our future husbands on this crazy pedestal and we expect them to be perfect. Yes. No, my goodness. Like, please.
Because we're not.
We're not. We're so imperfect. Yeah. But
there's so much I have to work on.
Yeah. I think it's exactly what you say about just realizing the gravity of the decision that you're going to make when you get married. I think if I had married the person I was dating from 27 to 30, though he's a great guy, it would not be the marriage I want now. 4 years later. That's how fast that happened. That's so crazy. It's like,
I know.
You just thank God. And because you said you know too much, it's like you want certain things. There are certain things that have to be dealt with before marriage. Mm. Certain bondages that I think need to be broken. There's going to be sin that's going to happen in the marriage. Obviously, we know this. We're sinners. We're human. But the standard is high in terms of what you're willing to kind of start your marriage off with, right? And just knowing that like this is a huge decision. Now, it's not one to be like afraid of, but I was talking to one of my girlfriends about this because we were just talking about like the gravity and like of this marriage choice, right? Like who you choose to marry. And we're like, yeah, it's like the second most important decision you make as to following Jesus. And then we were like, I don't know why, but following Jesus seems like a lot easier of a decision than who you're going to marry. And obviously, as a Christ follower, you're going to walk through some really, really hard stuff because you're not promised an easy life. In fact, you're promised a harder life, I think. But for, you know, whatever reason, I think there's just things that I think need to be processed and sought through and worked through in terms of who you're going to marry.
Well, think about this. What if following Jesus, yes, seems, I hear what you're saying, because I'm like, yeah, wait, that's such a good point. Following Jesus feels so much easier than finding a husband. But I think it was so hard when we didn't have Jesus. We were finding contentment in boys and drinking and all these things. And that was so hard.
Mm-hmm.
But then once we found Jesus and let him take over our life, it was the easiest thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I think we were dating the wrong guys and we have dated the wrong guys. So it's been really hard and it's felt like this is going to be hard. This is a lot of work. But once we find the right guy, I think it's going to be the easiest yes to say, yes, I'll marry you.
You're right. That's exactly it.
I don't know.
Yeah. I think that's so true. I think that's so true. And I think, you know, I don't necessarily, you know, when they say, you know, when you know, I think that's true. You know, when you know, I don't think it's like, when you know, I think girls have, we've done kind of ourselves a disservice by romanticizing certain love stories of like, oh, when my husband sees me, he's just going to know I'm his wife. And it's just, that's not true. What if you're friends for a year or two? Or what if you just like, you don't really see him that way, or he doesn't really see that you that way, but you build a really great friendship or you've met here and there, and then all of a sudden, bam, you know? Yeah. So I think, I love what you said, though. Like, it'll be an easy yes once you know it's the right yes.
Yeah. I hope it's my second easiest yes, you know? Like, yes, once I found out
so
it was
glad
Jesus.
I'm so we talked through that because that's so true.
Yeah.
Because I think my perspective was like, why did following Jesus feel so much easier than like choosing who you're going to marry? And it's like, well, because I haven't found the person yet, but I found the Lord.
Yeah. Why was life so hard until we found Jesus?
Yeah. So good.
Felt like I needed to share this after saying like people getting married young. A little sidebar, because it's Jesus and he can do whatever the heck he wants. Mm-hmm. That's what's so freaking cool. Because we talked about like how these men like should go through these things and do these things. It's because we're in our 30s. Yeah. We're older. Yeah. We know that.
Yeah.
But I think what's so cool about who Jesus is that he still works in that and he still redeems those things. Mm-hmm. So even if you were 20 and married somebody and you think maybe it's not the right thing, mm-hmm. God can still redeem that.
Oh yeah.
And he does. And we were talking about that last week at Bible study. And what was so cool is the amount of couples, because I'm in a Bible study with like older couples too, the amount of couples that talked about how like they got married so young and dumb. And one couple, like they ended up splitting up for a couple years. One couple, they did not know the Lord getting married. And just all these stories and the pattern and mm-hmm. all of them are that there's redemption.
Yep.
And as long as y'all two like are sticking together mm-hmm. and following the Lord, it doesn't matter if you're young and dumb and get married.
Yeah.
Or and not that everybody's young and dumb. I feel like that's just a phrase, but like, yeah. If you don't know, I mean, we're all young and dumb, mm-hmm. but if you are just like figuring out there, like the theme of the Bible, the theme of Jesus is redemption. Mm. And so
it's the gospel, baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's true. I love that. Like, I'm glad you said that. Cause I do so believe in that. And obviously we do because we believe in Jesus.
Okay. Looking at the clock. I have to go to my Galentine's candle exchange in my pajamas.
Should we do a Galentine's candle exchange?
Yes. Fun. We're doing my Bible study tonight. We're doing a Galentine's candle exchange. So we each bring like our favorite candle and we're meeting an hour earlier than normal. And we're going to just like have pizza and all that stuff. And we have to wear flirty pajamas. So I wrote in the text because it's like, it's such a sweet, small group, which I've just learned the importance of being fed, mm-hmm. you know, like just really making sure you're around people that are important to you. And this is definitely amongst you and some people, but this group is that, and it's been so sweet. And so we're meeting early and most of the girls are, well, there's like three married, two of them are mamas. And then there's four single girls. Mm-hmm. One's dating and the other three of us are single as far as I know. And well, I know that I'm single, but anyway, why does it take me 10 hours to tell a story? It's so pathetic.
No, but you have to go to Bible study, so you better figure it out.
Anyways, the whole point of this was that on the invite in our text group, we're called the Biblical Baddies Club. That's our group text.
Love.
And it's flirty pajamas. That's the attire. And I don't
have a sweatshirt.
Yeah, I'm wearing a sweatshirt. I was going to wear a onesie. And I told all my married girls, I'm like, I don't have flirty pajamas because I'm a single 34-year-old.
Should we buy you lingerie? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I need lingerie.
Am I allowed to say that on a podcast?
Yeah, you can. I need lingerie in preparation for a future marriage. We'll just stack it away.
You should. One of my friends and I used to buy ourselves lingerie just for fun.
I think I need to do that.
When you live with a bunch of girls, why not?
I should.
It's just fun. You're allowed to.
I should.
Okay,
anyways,
TMI.
Okay. TMI. Anyways, I have to cut this short, but we'll do a part two because I have to go to my Galentine's candle
also,
exchange party in my
beaches. Also, I think what's so
funny
is that we just admitted right now that we record like the week before we release.
Yeah.
So everybody, if there's anybody out there that knows how to do this better than you do. We need help on marketing. We need help on social media. We need help with recording. We need help with planning.
Hashtag sponsor.
What I would tell my younger self
is
like figure it out, ask for help.
Yeah. So help, please.
No, honestly, along those lines, which you say this all the time in your full ride classes, what I would tell my younger self is just do it.
Do
like,
it.
Sometimes the things that you're scared about, like this podcast was scary for us.
Yeah.
We just did it. We don't know what we're doing, but we did it. We're figuring it out.
Yeah.
Just do it. Don't just do anything, everybody. But just do it of what the Lord has called you to.
Yes.
And I think above all else, because I have to wrap this fast. If I had to summarize one thing of that, I tell my younger self, it's just follow after Jesus and chase him hard.
Yes.
Focus on him and literally everything else just falls away because he's the most important thing in the world.
Amen. Mic drop. Okay. I have nothing to add. That's so good. I tell my younger self the same thing, but we'll do part two because there's so much good stuff and we still have questions that we didn't get to.
All right.
I love you.
I love you.
Okay.
Okay.
You want to wrap it?
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
All right. Even if you have coffee with your younger self.
That doesn't work.
How did we start this?
On this week's episode of Even If.
Okay, yeah, you go.
You wrap.
You go.
Yeah.
I'll wrap. Okay. All right. And remember, even if he is still good.